Turning back to the chapter that we read, and especially looking at verse 5 in that chapter, chapter 28 in the Gospel of Matthew, and verse 5. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified." And especially the words that we have in the middle of the verse, "Do not be afraid." And we'll first look at seeking the Lord, and secondly, He is risen, and thirdly, go and tell. Seeking the Lord, He is risen, go and tell. And firstly, coming to seeking the Lord. Now, to draw near to a tomb or to a grave can be very solemn and sometimes fearful if we do it on our own and in silence, meditating on what is nothing but our own end. What is nothing but our own end. You see, death is not a biological dysfunction of our bodily members as we grow older. Death is the wages of sin. And that is brought home to us by the fact that we see people taken away from the scene of time at a young age, some in middle age, some when they reach an older age. It is not a bodily, not every one of us is guaranteed to reach an old age where we can say that death is a biological dysfunction of our bodily members. It is not. It is the wages of sin. The command of God, "From the dust you came, and to the dust you must return." The other thing is that the plot that you or I might be paying for on the Bry in the cemetery there, and some of us might not be paying for a plot in the Bry, but some in some other place. The thing is that very plot that you are paying for, that you and I are paying for, is the only thing that will never pass from our possession. It'll be ours and remain ours even when we are dead. Everything else passes from our possession. Our houses, our cars, our bank accounts, our possessions, whatever else we have, even our family, even the members of a family we have to leave them in the care of others. Everything else will pass from our possession except this plot of ground that we are paying for, in where we are going to be laid at the end of our journey here. Now, these women did not know what would be waiting for them. As they came to the Lord's tomb early on that Lord's Day morning. And as it is described for us here, they met with an angel whose appearance was as lightning, whose clothing was white as snow. They were gripped by fear, and so would we have been if we had been in their place. But hear the word of the angel to these women: "Do not be afraid." This word was to allay their fears. And we read in this account that the watchmen, those who had been set to guard the tomb in case Jesus' disciples would come and steal his body away at night. The watchmen shook with fear as the angel descended, and they became as dead men. The same has happened to John on the Isle of Patmos. When Jesus sent the angel to meet with him, John fell to the ground as if dead. But the angel says to these women, "But do you not be afraid." Those who have not got an intimate knowledge of the Lord, let them be afraid. But do you not be afraid, who are daughters of Sarah. Sarah, of course, was Abraham's wife. And as Peter puts it for us in his first epistle and the third chapter and the sixth verse, "As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are." Peter was talking to the woman in his own congregation, the congregation he was writing to, "whose daughters you are, if you do good and fear nothing that is frightening." No, these words are for you today. And if you take nothing away from this sermon, and if it goes over your head, take these words away: do not be afraid. These are for you today if you are seeking Jesus. If you are seeking Jesus. And we can be gripped by many fears when we set out on the path that leads us to seeking the Lord. You can put the question to yourself, how will he respond to me? How will the Lord respond to me if I do meet him? Can be filling your thoughts. And can be filling us with fear. What if he turns me away? It's a frightening thought that can fill our minds. Well, you should take courage from the words spoken by the angel to these women coming to the tomb. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus." You see, the Lord knows when one is genuinely seeking after himself. And he does not want to frighten you, but he wants to encourage you. And those that seek Jesus have no need of being afraid. For if you are diligent in your seeking of him, you will find him. You will find him. But all in the Lord's time. All in the Lord's own time. And this means that you have to exercise patience in your seeking of him. You have to exercise patience in your seeking of him. And when you do find him, you will discover in him all that is necessary for time and for eternity. You will discover that you will find in Jesus all that is needful for this world and the world that is to come. You see, all your faithful inquiries after the Lord are noted in heaven. They are noted in heaven. That is why the angel was sent down to the woman. The Lord knew they were seeking after him. They were coming to anoint a dead body, to do the last service, the last service they could do for the Lord. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus." For I know that you seek Jesus. All your faithful inquiries after the Lord, they are noted in heaven. And they will through time find an answer. For he is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. All those who diligently seek him. And listen to the words of the angel again. "You seek Jesus who was crucified. And here you are today, and you are seeking after a person who was crucified over 2,000 years ago. And you are afraid to tell your family and friends, because you're afraid that they will make you out to be a fool. What on earth are you doing, seeking after a person who was put to death over 2,000 years ago? What's that person going to do for you? But you see, you are seeking him in spite of the fact that he was crucified. You are seeking him in spite of that fact, and you are seeking him because he was crucified. And you might at this very moment be looking at the cross of Christ, and your knowledge of that cross is very hazy. Your discernment of the light of the gospel is very dim. But as we were saying last week, that does not matter. You might be thinking to yourself, I don't have any knowledge of the Word of God in the way that the Lord's people do. And you think to yourself, well, will that not hold me back? No, it won't. No, it won't. It does not matter. The main thing is that you are seeking the Lord. That you are seeking the Lord. He did not come to call great theologians to himself. And you will never become a theologian until you know Christ anyway. Every one of the Lord's people, they are theologians in their own right. It is only when you come to find the Lord, when you come to know the Lord, that is when you become a theologian. But he did not come to call great theologians to himself. He did not come to call people who have a great knowledge of the word. He came to call sinners. And here you are today, seeking the Lord, and the only qualification you need in finding him is that you are a sinner. And aware that you are a sinner. Which takes us to the second thing that we have. He is risen. The angel assures these women of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And surely there would be enough in that to chase away their fears. He is not here. He is risen. And you might be here today and you have been seeking the Lord for some time, for some length of time. And it is fitting that you would be getting despondent. And this word, he is not here, will not chase away your fears, will not chase away your despair. But surely the word that follows will do. He is risen. He is risen. I am alive and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. That's what Jesus said to John, and we find it in the book of Revelations, chapter 1 and verse 18. I am alive and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. You are seeking after a living Savior that can be found of you. That can be found of you. You are not seeking after a crucified Savior whose body remains in the tomb where it was laid. But you are seeking after a living Savior. And what does that reveal to you? That you're seeking will not be in vain. Your seeking will not be in vain. Jesus himself warned us not to listen to those who would say, Christ, the Christ is here and the Christ is there. For he is neither here nor there. He is risen. He is risen. And you might have been conscious of the Holy Spirit striving with you through his word and through his providence for some length of time. And in having let these moments pass without making the best use of them, you are thinking now that your time of opportunity is gone. That your time of opportunity is gone. Do not despair, my friend. For you are seeking a Savior that is risen and living in the power of a never-ending life. And in all your seeking after the Lord, you must remember that he is risen. And you must seek him as one who is risen. One who is risen. You must seek him by faith and not by sight. You must seek him by faith and not trust. You must seek him through trusting his word. Paul puts it for us in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. He puts it this way. He tells us there are those. There were many, he said. There were many who knew Christ after the flesh. But now know we him so no more. Know we him so no more. It is true that Christ walked this earth in a body like you and I do. Like you and I do. But now he is risen. And he must be sought after by faith in his word. Trusting in his word. You see what Paul is getting at there. And there were many who knew Christ after the flesh, but now we know him so no more. There were many down through the ages in the church's history who put it before themselves that unless they saw Christ in the flesh, in the body, that they would not believe in him. And there was one elder from this village itself. He became an elder in the Stornoway congregation, and that's what he was setting before himself. That unless he would see Christ bodily, in the flesh, he would not believe in him. But you see, Christ is risen. We have to seek him through faith in his word, trusting in his word. What is the righteousness based on faith say to me and to you? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. As Paul put it, the word that we proclaim, the word of the gospel. You have heard the gospel. You speak about it from time to time. It is in your heart you think about it from time to time. You are not unfamiliar with the gospel. You are not unfamiliar with the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. And if you confess Jesus Christ with your lips, if you confess him as Lord, and if you believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, And if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Sounds very simple. And at the end of the day, it is simple. All you need is this trust, this faith in his word. So if you're looking or seeking Jesus in the flesh, then you have to adjust your seeking. You have to adjust your seeking. For instance, if you are at home in this world and you think that it's a good place to be in, then what you must remember is that the Lord that you are seeking after is not here. He is not here. So you have to let your heart, you'll have to let your heart and mind rise up to the things which are above. As Paul puts it for us in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 3, seek, he said, after the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind upon the things which are above, and not upon the things which are on the earth. Not upon the things which are on the earth. And that is what you have to do if you are seeking Jesus and thinking that you will meet with him bodily in the flesh. You won't. He is not in this world. He is risen. Which brings us to the third and final thing that we have here. Go and tell. The angel directs these women to go and tell this great news to his disciples. Leave the tomb. Go to his disciples. Tell them this great news. And the woman probably at that very moment would have been gazing into this empty tomb, aware of the presence of the angel. And they would have been thinking to themselves, could we be found in a more blessed place? They would have no thoughts whatsoever of leaving. They would have no thoughts whatsoever of leaving. With their fear now gone, they would have been of the opinion that they could not be found in a more heavenly place. And it is the same with each and every one of us. Some of us might have been seeking after Jesus subconsciously. Some of us might have been seeking after him consciously. Some of us not being aware that we were seeking after him. Some of us being aware that we were seeking after him. And we might have been seeking after him for a length of time. And suddenly when he meets with us, when he meets with me and you, what is our reaction? We want to hold on to that moment. We do not want to let go of that moment. We want to hold on to it. Because there is no moment more blessed than when you meet for the first time with the Lord. However, as it was for these women, so it is for us. We must let go, and we must go and tell others this great news. He is risen, and I have met with him. I have met with him. And they were to proclaim this good news to his disciples, who in their despair needed to be comforted. Well, when you and I find the Lord for the first time, for some of us, It is to the Lord's people that we first proclaim this good news. The first time we appear in the prayer meeting in the presence of his people, that is the first time that anybody has any inkling of what was going on in our lives. And the Lord's people need every encouragement they can get, especially in the day and age in which we live. And we might not have been aware of it at the time, but in taking that step into the prayer meeting, it was a great encouragement to the Lord's people. There are others of us, when we meet Christ for the first time, we are bursting to tell this good news to all and sundry. And it might be the members of our family or our very close friends to whom we proclaim this good news for the first time. It is not glad tidings that we ought to keep to ourselves. And the angel then pronounces that he has done his duty. See, I have told you. See, I have told you. The woman could be assured, and it could depend upon it, that this was a person who could not lie. The word spoken by angels is reliable, as we have it in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2. And God made known his mind in Old Testament times through angels and through prophets and through various other means. But that is a means of communication that is now set aside in the gospel age. In the gospel age. Were the angels not present at the giving of the law on Mount Sinai? And here we find this angel present at the tomb of the Lord. The Old Testament age was coming now to an end, and this means of communication was to be set aside in the age of the gospel. This angel's work is now finished. See, I have told you, I have done my duty. His work is now finished, and he leaves the proclamation of this good news to the woman. Go and tell his disciples. And if you are seeking the Lord here today, when you come to meet with him, your first duty is to go and tell this good news to others. Why? Because if there is anything that the world of our day needs, that this fallen world that is under the dominion of the darkness of sin, if there is anything that this world needs in our day, it is to hear this good news. He is not here. He is risen. And may the Lord help you in your seeking of himself and lead you to truly rejoice when you meet with him, to rejoice in the fact that you are meeting with a living Savior through faith in his word. May he bless these thoughts to us all. Let us pray.